Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Marnie, and I welcome you back to another edition of Marnie's Friends. And today we're doing a segment in our Bible Study Expo series. If you want to check out all of the interviews that we've done with authors throughout the past few years, you're going to want to go over to Bible Study Expo, but don't leave right now. Right now you want to stay here because we've got some great authors on the show with us today. First up is going to be Sue Ellen Estes. She's the author of a book called Forever Upward, A Mother's Journey Through Prayer. Now, Sue Ellen is a mother, but she's also a grandma, and she's here to share with us kind of the story behind the book, Forever Upward. Welcome, Sue Ellen.
Hi, Marnie. Thank you so much for having me, and please excuse my voice today, but another challenge that we're overcoming. But I wanted to, first of all, tell you a little bit about the book. Because of my walk with the Lord, I have learned some things with my own children that I have used to pray. I've learned how to pray, what to pray, when to pray. And those are the things that I have been trying to encourage other mothers with, because it's one of the walks that all of us need to know about.
You bet. Now, I assume you have laryngitis.
Yes, I am so sorry. But well, I'm sorry. But anyway, I wouldn't let that stop me today. I hope it won't hinder anyone else. Okay.
Yeah, Sue Ellen, one of the things that I'd be curious to know is why you wrote these things. You know, a lot of people write a book about, you know, for moms or whatever, but you wrote it in a way that Bible study groups can go through it and benefit from it. Why did you think it would be good for groups?
Well, Marnie, when I teach at ladies' groups, one of the number one prayer requests is always concerning children, especially teenage children and adults who have strayed from the Lord, who are either in alcohol abuse or drug abuse, who have bad relationships. And so that's why I have this particular desire to do this book. But I also see women who don't understand the power of prayer as God has laid it out in His Word. So I try to take a step-by-step approach to get people to the place of having faith in their prayer and what they can expect.
That's cool. And you weren't raised necessarily a Christian, were you?
Well, actually, I was raised in a Christian church, but as I got to be a young adult, I strayed because of intellectualism. I thought I was too smart for all that. Ha ha. Mm-hmm. And but as it turns out, I had a very dramatic encounter with the Lord after I had gone, you know, to the end of my rope with what I thought I could do. And the very dramatic encounter has been with me now for 30 years. And I have found my God to be faithful every day. Whatever we're going through, He will not only lift us up, but He will take us to a higher place.
I love that you're here and that you're on the radio, even though you have laryngitis, because it is just so true that no matter what state we find ourselves, that it's there that we meet Jesus. And you're being faithful to this commitment that was set up quite a long time ago, and you're here the best you can be here. Just yesterday, I put out on my social networks, you know, that I don't like to admit it, but God really loves our weakness. He loves those points where we are weak and where He can really be strong for us. And so I thank you for your participation here today and for your example of how we don't have to have it all perfect and all together, even our voices, to be where God wants us to be, doing what He wants us to do. Now, Sue Ellen, are you guys, you and your husband, are you still in the ministry right now?
Yes, we are. We have a...
Tell us a little bit about your church.
Okay. Our church is a Spirit-filled church, in the northern part of Mississippi, Blue Mountain. We pull in from several different towns around, and we started it in our home 18 years ago. We've seen God work just powerfully in people's lives as they have come out of alcoholism or drug abuse or whatever things that they've had in their lives. And so we have seen that happen. And when you mentioned the laryngitis, Marnie, I'll have to admit, I thought of all times for me to lose my voice, mm-hmm. because this has not happened in probably 5 or 10 years.
Sure.
But you know what? I think one of the main things that we have to do is say we're not going to give up, we're not going to quit, and we're not going to allow the enemy to hinder us in any way in what we're doing.
It just, we've been having conversations, well, I've been having conversations with people the past few weeks about how the larger the sphere of influence, that something that you're working on or you have, the project itself or you as the person, the larger the sphere of influence, the impact on eternity, the more of hell is going to come against you on your way to go there. And so whenever we have a lot of stuff going on externally around us, we're always remembering that there's an unseen world here, and that's where things are truly happening. And that's kind of what the purpose of your book is, Forever Upward, A Mother's Journey Through Prayer, is to remind moms, remind parents that the battle is always on your knees, even though a lot of times what we have to do is in the physical realm.
That is so true, Marnie. The major thrust of your battle is always on your knees. Or, you know, speaking God's word. And I think when people will, you know, so many times we hear other people talk about their faith. See, faith, our faith that we get from our walk with the Lord is like nutrition. You know, my sister can have wonderful nutrition, and she can tell me about it, but it doesn't do me any good. What does me good is when I will get with my Lord, and I will get with the Bible, and I will let him show me personally some things. And, of course, as we share with others also, but it always has to be a personal relationship with the Lord that will bring us to the new place. And but I want to encourage mothers and fathers that if they will do things God's way, if they will spend time with the Lord, if they will look at what I call the rules of the universe, as he outlines in the scriptures, and do their part, then they will see a mighty, mighty move of God's Spirit. And in my book, I have so many examples of times when it looked impossible for adult children, but then there would be a turnaround because of God's faithfulness to his covenant.
Yeah. What is one of your favorite stories in the book? And maybe I could just take a moment and read a little bit of that one. And by the way, we're going to give away one of these books here in just a few minutes, Forever Upward. And this is a book by I'm visiting today with Sue Ellen Estes. The book is Forever Upward, A Mother's Journey Through Prayer. And we're going to give one of these away. And, of course, you can find more about it over at BibleStudyExpo.com, too. But, Sue Ellen, if I was going to just read a short segment out of here, what would I read?
Well, I think, actually, when you talk about one of the stories, Harvey and June Lancet are featured throughout the book, but their story was one that was actually introduced in the very beginning, because they came to the Lord late in life, and they had two teenage sons who were just very rebellious. And actually, they went all the way to prison before they had their victory. So that doesn't sound exciting, except the exciting part is that both of those young men are now in full-time evangelism. Now, you could read about them throughout the book, so it's hard to say exactly what. But let me, there's one, toward the end of the book, I start mentioning the hindrances that we would have in our prayer life, and how when we are in that personal relationship, the Lord will show us things that we need to do. And one of the, there's a chapter in the book, it's called Life Lessons, and it's in let's see, it's chapter 14.
Yeah.
When it talks
okay.
about pride as being such a an element in the American church, and see, when we are dealing with our own children, we just naturally are proud of them. And so when they are making mistakes, it's hard for us to even see clearly how to deal with that. But this particular chapter, I would really recommend to people, you know, people who've been with the Lord many years and who've had a very strong walk with Him, because the American church is so full, you know, we tend to have a lot of pride. And so, but we have to just admit it, you know, that we're not perfect and our children are not perfect, and we come with humility before our God. And that would be one that I would definitely suggest. There's a story of Rachel and Leah in there.
Yeah, I just want to read just a little bit at the end of, so we missed most of the story here, but I just want to read this little part here.
Okay.
The turning point came when Leah humbled herself in her prayers. When she began to face her own shortcomings as well as those of her daughter, her prayers began to prevail. A great paradox in the Christian walk is that when we see ourselves as great ones before God, pride can be our downfall. He resists the proud. When we find ourselves excusing ourselves and judging others, we are in trouble. We can expect resistance from the heavenlies. There's a wonderful liberty we receive when we are not trying to be seen of men. We are not putting on a mask for others to honor. Our honor comes from our Father who sees in secret. The one who can make the difference in our circumstances knows who we really are anyway. Why do we try to hide the truth from Him? We need to let go of our pride so we can truly be lifted up. This is just a great example of how you weave the stories and then you pull them into the life lesson that we all need to have. Well, let's go ahead and take a moment here and give away one of these books. And if you are already on the line, if you want to just press number one to raise your hand there, I can see if you are available to take to let me pick you. Otherwise, I do have a whole bunch over here on my side, too, that came in the emails, people saying, please, please, please pick me. And I know a lot of you aren't on the line just right now, so we can go either way. If you are on the line and you would like to win a copy of this, if you can quickly find your number one button there to raise your hand. Otherwise, I know if I don't see those hands raised, I don't pick them, because I can see your phone numbers here, but I don't know if you can actually you can actually answer. Okay, here we go. We got some hands up. So let's go ahead and see here. Okay, we're going to try to give it to the caller from area code 989, and your phone number ends in the digits 25. Hi, are you there?
Hi, that's me.
Oh, hi,
that's
super.
Me,
okay.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Esther Winchell.
Esther. Okay, what's your last name?
Winchell, W-I-N-C-H-E-L.
Winchell, okay. And where's home for you?
Saginaw, Michigan. So.
All right. Well, good. Congratulations to you, and we're going to get this out to you. If you want to, Esther, if you would send me an email over to info, like the word information subshortened up, info@marnie.com. That's MARNIE.com. And then just in the line there, just put book winner. And
okay.
I've got your phone number here. Just include that, and then we will put your address in there, of course, and then we can get this shipped out to you, and you'll have a copy of Forever Upward. And everybody else who's listening, you can for sure check this out over at Bible Study Expo. There's a link over to Sue Ellen's page, so you can learn more about her and about the book. There's a link right there if you want to grab the book from Amazon, or if you have a local bookseller, that'd be awesome. Again, the book title is Forever Upward. Congratulations, Esther.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I am anxious to read it and then pass it on to my daughter, who has teenage boys. So.
Oh, super. Oh, thank you. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And Marnie, I would like to say also that at my website, which is foreverupward.com, that I'm offering a Mother's Day special from today until the 30th of April, where the books will be autographed and there will be free shipping.
Oh, fun. Okay, so, and you guys, if you go over to BibleStudyExpo.com and just click on her photo. That will take you right over there. Otherwise, the name of her website is ForeverUpward.com. Well, thank you, Sue Ellen. Thanks for being here today. Pray that you get your voice back really soon. I know when mine is gone,
so
I really
much.
Miss it. Okay, thanks.
Thank
All right.
So
bye-bye.
Thanks,
Bye. We'll be right back with another segment. Hang in here. We'll be right back.
Are you a leader, an author or speaker, a mom or Sunday school teacher? Leadership Club is my way of providing encouragement, practical help, and solid God focus to as many people as I possibly can. Together we are learning how to be all that Christ created us to be, in and through His power and presence in our lives. I encourage you to join us at Marnie.com. Have a great day.
Hi, and welcome back to another edition of Marnie's Friends. We are doing a Bible Study Expo today, and we have on the line with us, we just finished visiting with Sue Ellen Estes, who's the author of Forever Upward, and at 3:30, we're going to bring on Joanna Weaver, who's the author of many, many books, including Having a Merry Heart and a Martha World, but today we're going to be talking with her about her book, Lazarus Awakening, there it is. I'm losing it in my shuffle here. And then at 3:45, we'll be visiting with Mindy Ferguson, who is, again, the author of several Bible study books, but her recent book is The Women in Jesus' Lives. So we're excited to talk about those in just a little bit during this particular 15-minute segment. We're going to talk about my new book that came out just recently, Feeling Loved. And if you have not taken your gals through this already, I hope that you will consider doing that. We're going to talk just a few minutes about this book and why it might be a good fit for your group. And again, over at Bible Study Expo, you can find the information about any of the books that we're talking about today, about any of the authors we're talking about today, and I hope that you will check them all out. Feeling Loved is the first book in my series for Super Busy Women. It's called the Marnie Method Series for Super Busy Women, and it outlines basically the different strategic shortcuts that I use to do my life. And my life is pretty complex as far as we homeschooled our kids all the way from kindergarten all the way through high school, and then along the way, I was either leading Bible studies or running a women's ministry or being on the praise team or all of the above, and writing books and hosting large websites, including a lot of you are familiar with, and if you're not, you need to go over and get familiar with womenspeakers.com, which is the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world. And then there's other websites that I have for women's ministry leaders as well as for moms and just individuals. So during all of this, then we ended up buying a couple businesses. So now we own a restaurant and we own a retail store and espresso cafe. And I also do consulting for businesses. So in the midst of this craziness, where do you find time for God? And the reality is that if you're trying to find time for God, it's probably not coming about it the right way, because technically you can't do anything without God. And what you can do is you can get through the day. You can do a lot for here and now without God. Now, technically you can't, because everything exists through Jesus Christ. So without Jesus Christ, nothing exists that exists. And so if you're doing it without Him, you're just what I always just compare it to is playing in the cockpit. You know, you're pretending you know how to fly a plane. You're sitting in the plane. The plane's on the tarmac. You're sitting there. You're playing with all the buttons and all the steering wheels and, you know, pretending to fly the plane, but the plane's not going anywhere. It's just sitting on the tarmac. And you might actually have a lot of fun playing in the cockpit, but you're not going anywhere. And that's how most people are doing most segments of their life. They're sitting in a cockpit. They're playing with the components of life. But as far as eternity goes, as far as spiritual influence that's going to last forever and forever, they're not making any headway at all, because they're doing it on their own without God. And so what this book does is it takes your group through, or else you personally, you can do it on your own or with a group, it takes you through the different angles, the different aspects of having Christ at the center of your life, not only of your life, but of everything that you do in your life, so that you're no longer trying to do your life on your own, but rather you're doing life in the presence of God, through the power of God, and with the kind of results that can only come when God is at the helm, when God is doing the empowering and the directing and the guiding and the leading and everything, basically, and you're just riding along. One of my favorite analogies is sitting in a roller coaster, because when you are driving a car, for example, you literally have to drive that car. But when you're in a roller coaster, there is no driving about it. You are strapped in, you are out of control, and you are completely 100% trusting that wherever that little car that you're in takes you is where you're supposed to be going, even if that means death-defying places way straight up and then straight down and around and loop-de-loop and turning sharp corners and just all of the craziness that you feel when you're on a roller coaster. And actually walking with Christ, at least for me, feels like that a lot of the time. A lot of the time I feel like things are out of control. I feel like I'm in danger. I feel like I wish I could grab a wheel and do it myself and slow it down a little bit some of the time. But the reality is that when God's at the helm, that you are in the most safe place that you could ever, ever be. So it's always the best place to be is with God driving your life. And that is what feeling loved is about. Some of the comments that I've heard from, it's kind of interesting because women of all ages are reading this book and are replying back to me with comments. But I'm loving the comments from the younger girls, the college age and the 20s, early 30s girls, who are saying things out loud to me or emailing me things that say things like, I didn't really dare to believe that God cared about the minutia of my life. But you seem to just know that he does. And I do, you guys. I do know that he cares about every single detail of our lives. And he wants to be intimately involved in every detail of every kind. So be sure to check that out. The other thing that's kind of interesting is that I have a lot of fun with God. And that comes out in the book, just my casual daily relationship with God that I have with him. And I talk a lot in here about how he loves to hang out with us, how he loves to be involved with our lives. And really, it's just like bestest friends. And when you're apart, okay, well, that's how it has to be. But when you're together, it's just great. You just always, goodbye is always difficult and all that kind of stuff. And God is just humongous. Exponential of that, where he just always, always wants to be with us, and he always is present with us. It's us who are failing to be consciously aware of his presence, and so that's why we want to make sure that we choose to be consciously aware of him. This book will help you to choose to be consciously aware of him more than you've ever done before, and in doing that, you will find tremendous energy. You will find hope. You will find help and direction. You will find empowerment to do things you could never have done if that wasn't the case. I love on page 36 of the book the description between the difference between two women, the woman who's living in her own power and the woman who's living in God's power. So a woman living the best she can without God can achieve great things in her allotted days on earth, but all of them will fade over time and none will provide eternal rewards. Whereas a woman living in God's power, living through the power of God, has the ability to do things that will have an effect for eternity while bringing joy to her and everyone around her during her short span of her earthly life. So we have to remember that this little bit of time we have here on earth is just that. It's a little teeny bit of time. And there's forever after this. And it's important that we get that into our heads, that this is just tiny, but God's big. And what I'm doing here today can either affect today and tomorrow, or it can have an effect for eternity. And that's choices that we're making along the way. So encourage you to get this in and check this out. The book is called Feeling Loved. We are going to give one of these away here real quick. And I think I'm going to go to the call bag for this giveaway here. And in the emails, boy, we've got so many here. I'm just going to scroll down and stop. Okay, we're going to give this book away to Christine Jornflow. And Dante will find her after the show here and give her an email back. And Christine Jornflow is going to win the copy of Feeling Loved. And this book, of course, is available also from Bible Study Expo. If you click on the book cover itself, it'll take you over to Amazon and you can get a hold of that, or from any local bookstore, Feeling Loved, Connecting with God in the Minutes You Have. And I wanted to just spend the last few seconds here of this little mid-segment here. I wanted to let you know that I do have a new book that's out right now. It is not a Bible study book, but it's a fun book for Mother's Day. It's called Kitchen Shortcuts. It's just hitting the bookstores next week. Let's see, what are we on here? The 25th. Actually, it hits the bookstores the end of next week, early Mother's Day week, and it's a great book for moms of all ages. Kitchen Shortcuts basically are the simple stress-busting strategies that I use to serve thousands of guests between the people I serve in our home. I love to entertain. So we serve people in our home, plus I have a restaurant and an espresso cafe, and then I also host parties and events. And this book explains how to save time and money in the minutes you have to use strategies that will help you to streamline and simplify your life. And so encourage you to check this book out too, Marnie. It's called Kitchen Shortcuts, Saving Time and Money in the Minutes You Have. The book first came out in 1996. It was called Marnie's Kitchen Shortcuts. It was printed through St. Martin's Press in New York, and it went through multiple printings, and then it was finally taken out of print several years ago. But there hasn't been a month for almost every week. People are saying, when is that coming out again? I need more copies. And it's kind of interesting. This particular book, I get a lot of moms and grandmas who say, okay, in the recent years now, I get letters that say, you know, I bought some for my daughters, you know, a few years back. Now I need to buy some for my granddaughters. It's just a great basic book that helps you figure out, instead of like a recipe book, like a normal recipe book, although it does have a couple hundred recipes in it, but normal recipe books give you a recipe. This one gives you a strategy. So you can get in and out of the kitchen quick, serve great food, save money, save time, and still feel great about what you're serving, and use a lot of fresh ingredients instead of all the store-bought, you know, pizzas and different things like that. And it's just what you can do with the minutes you have. So it's a great book to check out. That's, again, by me, Kitchen Shortcuts, and again, the book we are featuring today for the Bible Study Expo, Feeling Loved, and you can check that out over at BibleStudyExpo.com. Okay, well, we are just about ready to go into our segment with our next guest, Joanna Weaver, and of course, Joanna is the author of Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World, which has just been a super bestseller, and then her most recent book is Lazarus Awakening, Finding Your Place in the Heart of God. We're going to come back and chat with her in just a minute. It has been my great joy to interview experts on all sorts of topics. The segments with branding gurus Linda Lopeck and Karen Saunders provided over $1,000 worth of training. The segment with literary agent David Sanford, again, worth over $500 by itself. The email management training with Marcia Egan was a huge hit. If you're already a member, then you're all set. But if not, check it out at leadershipattitudes.com. Leadershipattitudes.com. Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select Free Updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's Free Updates over at Marnie.com. Are you spending too much time at Twitter or frittering away your day at Facebook? Maybe you think you should get involved in social networking but just don't know how. Either way, my same social networking principles can help you, just like they help me to be able to interact with my thousands of followers at several different sites in just 15 minutes a day. Check it out at Marnie.com. Sane social networking success in 15 minutes a day.
Are you a speaker ready for some new connections? Join WomenSpeakers.com, the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, currently enjoying over 25,000 hits a day. WomenSpeakers.com is a place for you to showcase your speaking availability to over 10,000 event planners. WomenSpeakers.com is a first-stop preference for leaders who are planning retreats, conferences, luncheons, brunches, and teas. Join us today over at WomenSpeakers.com, both free and paid listings available.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome back to another segment, another edition of Marnie's Friends. And we are doing a Bible Study Expo segment today. We do one of these about once a quarter, and we interview authors of Bible study books for women. And then over at BibleStudyExpo.com, you can listen in to all of the previous interviews, and you can listen in, of course, to our current one right now. We are going to be visiting here in the next quarter hour with Joanna Weaver. She's from Montana, and she is the author of several books, Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World, Having a Merry Spirit, Allowing God to Change Us from the Inside Out. We're going to talk today with Joanna about her new book, Lazarus Awakening, Finding Your Place in the Heart of God. Welcome, Joanna.
Thank you, Marnie. I'm so glad to be with you.
Well, I'm excited to have you here, and I know that that you've had a little bit of a wild time coming up to this. But I'm so glad that you could join us. You know, there's just I have a saying, and there's a couple sayings I have that are a little bit tongue in cheek because they make me smile when I say them, even though I know that God's got it in control. But there's a saying I have that's just nothing's easy. I just always say nothing's easy.
Yeah. It's all good. But nothing's easy.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
and I always
say about the flip side is when we're training people in at our restaurant or at our store, I always say, you know, everything's easy once you know how. And that's kind of the other side of it, too, is that there are really some insider secrets and tips, some things that we can learn from people who have traveled before us down a certain road that really can radically change our experience walking down that road. And I think that's one of the things that you do best.
Well, I thank you. I'm always wanting to find someone who does it smarter and better. You know, why mm-hmm. reinvent the wheel? I always think it's silly to say, oh, you just have to learn by experience when you can learn from people who've already had the experience. So that is my prayer, you know, that I have that teachable heart.
Well, we are going to give away a copy of your book here to a listener in a little while. But why don't you go ahead and tell us, now, first of all, before we get to the Lazarus Awakening, which is the book we're going to give away here shortly, but before you get to that one, just tell us, where did Having a Martha Heart in a Merry World come from? And then lead us up to where Lazarus Awakening came from.
You bet. Well, actually, Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World was a retreat theme of a retreat that I attended probably 16, 18 years ago, except that the speaker never spoke on Mary and Martha. And I remember going away thinking, oh, I really wanted to hear about them. Well, several years later, I kind of felt inspired to write a biblical novel on the two sisters from Bethany. But as I began looking deeper at their story, I realized, wow, there was so much to it beyond the four verses in Luke chapter 10. I saw evidence of a holy makeover in John chapter 11, and that title floated back to mind, and did some research, found out that it really hadn't been used before, and so I had no way of finding permission, but used it. And then God was so kind, like about 4 years ago, to help me meet up with the lady who actually inspired that theme. And it ended up as that retreat title. But it really came out of a desire of, Lord, I want to be intimate with you. I want to sit at your feet like Mary did. But the Martha inside keeps bossing me around. And I kind of argued with God about writing the book because, to be honest, that's always been my struggle. I'm a good girl who wants to do good things. I've never been tempted to do drugs or alcohol or any of that stuff. But really having a regular quiet time with the Lord and a disciplined spiritual life, that's always been my struggle. And to be honest, it still is at times. But I begin to see in this story that it's not a duty that he's called us to. It's a delight. It's a relationship that he wants to share with us. And the thing that was so beautiful about studying the story of Mary and Martha was I realized that it's not about a personality type. We're all invited
true intimacy with God. And so that's how that book came about.
Well, that is so amazing that you actually went to a retreat and they didn't talk about it, and that's what inspired you. That's pretty funny. I always get a kick out of it. How God uses the least likely things. You know, what I would say, you know, like maybe if I was that retreat leader, and I don't know if she did feel that it hadn't been successful, but even if I was her and I had thought, you know, wow, here we bring this speaker and she never even talked about the topic we had going on, but look down the road years later what God did with what we would have defined maybe a failure. You know, and it really isn't our job to say, well, because I can't see results today, it was a failure. We have to just trust that there's a bigger God.
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm realizing, too, that that when I go to functions like that, it's not always about me. There's other people that God's wanting to do things in. And like you say, I had no idea that that title would come back, and yet it was so sweet to be able to share with this woman what God had done, and to be able to rejoice in something that the Holy Spirit had spoken to her heart nearly 20 years ago. And
exactly.
Had become
that
the theme
so
of her
cool.
life. Yeah.
That is so, so cool. So cool. Well, let's go ahead and move up to Lazarus Awakening. I hope you weren't at a funeral when this one was. No, it doesn't matter. Where were you inspired to write this book?
Well, actually, I was so ready to move on. I have this book in my heart that I've been trying to write for 10 years, and God keeps expanding the Mary and Martha story. So Mary's Spirit was my second book. But I was sharing with some friends that I had this other aspect of the story that I hadn't been able to fit in the book. I said, you know, we all can understand why Jesus loves Mary, because look how she worships. And we can even understand why he loved Martha. After all, look how she served. But what about those of us who don't really know where we fit in the heart of God? You know, Lazarus did nothing of any distinction except die. And yet when he fell ill, the words that Mary and Martha used were these, Lord, the one you love is sick.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it was so interesting, because as I said it, my words just kind of floated in the air. And my friend said, well, you know what? It didn't make it into the book, because it is a book. It's the Lazarus factor. And it's that whole thing, this story shatters all of our formula Christianity that says, okay, I have to do this in order to be loved by God. Or if I do this and I do that, then God has to do this. Or that if things are going well, that's a sign of God's favor. But if things are going bad, he either has forgotten me or I've done something wrong. Well, the story of Lazarus just blows all of those theories and all of those theorems out of the water. And thank God that it does. Because the good news of the gospel is that we are loved apart from what we bring. But if we'll lay down our life, if we're willing to lose it, we're going to find a resurrected life like we never dreamed.
Oh, that is so good. Some of the chapter titles in here are Tale of the Third Follower, Lord, the One You Love is Sick, Our Friend Lazarus, When Love Tarries, Tomb Dwelling, Roll Away the Stone, When Love Calls Your Name, Unwinding the Grave Clothes, Living Resurrected, and Laughing Lazarus. Love it, love it, love it. What was your favorite moment when you were writing this book?
Well, it was probably the moment that I was able to write the end. Writing never comes easy to me, but this book was incredibly difficult. It was a 2.5 year process.
Mm-hmm.
The first year was the most intense writer's block I've ever had. My head was so quiet. It was like being entombed. I wasn't in pain, but I had no inspiration. I had no breath. I told my editor, I said, I know that there's a book. It's like I have a pregnancy test, and it says I'm expecting, but I have no symptoms. And it was really just this incredible walk of faith of just saying, okay, God, I know this was your idea. Because when my friend said, it is a book, it's the Lazarus factor, it was like a bell, literally a gong went off inside of me. I could
physically feel the reverberations. And that was so comforting during that time when I had no breath of an idea, that I knew, okay, this wasn't some marketing ploy, you know, let's come up with a Bethany trilogy. It wasn't my publisher saying, hey, we need a book on Lazarus to round out the three. It was God's idea. And he kept bringing me back to the words that Jesus spoke to Martha as they stood before the tomb, and Jesus said, roll away the stone. And Martha said, but Lord, it stinketh. You know, really, not a good idea at all. And Jesus said to Martha, did I not tell you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God?
Yeah.
And that's what he kept whispering in my heart, Joanna. I'm not asking you. I'm not asking you to feel this. I'm not asking you necessarily even to do this. I'm asking you to believe that I can accomplish what I have purposed through you. You just keep being available. And so it was a 2.5 year walk of faith, and just really saying, okay, God, I don't know. I don't know what you want to do with this, but I want you to do everything you've purposed in me through it. I don't want to miss what I need to know, and that is that you are able. You are able to bring life out of death, and you're able to bring out possibilities out of impossibilities. I just have to keep believing you.
That is such a great word for all of us who have any kind of a vision or a dream in our hearts that we think God has been asking us to do something, and you know, he has. It's so easy to lose it, isn't it? It's easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to just let it go. Just let it go.
Well, yeah.
It couldn't have been God.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look like it in the moment, right?
That's it. You know, and it was interesting because there was this little dance that the Lord and I would do where I would be pushing so hard, pushing, trying to make something happen. And I would just feel him say, I want you to let go and just trust me. And so I'd go through a season where I would literally do something else. We actually went through two major transitions, two major moves in that 2.5 years. And so I focused on that. But then there would come that time where it would be, okay, it's time to reengage. And I would feel that, okay, yeah, I need to believe that God is going to do what he said he'd do, but, you know, I've got to also engage in obedience. And so it was just this walk of just trying to keep in tune to his spirit as best I could. And he
That's
was
so awesome. So awesome. We're talking about Joanna Weaver's most recent book, Lazarus Awakening. We're going to give one of those away a second. I see what I'm seeing on my screen here is people falling off the board, then they come back and fall off the board and come back. So if you're having trouble staying on here, come on now, because I'm going to give away a book. So now raise your hand. I don't know why sometimes this Blog Talk Radio switchboard kicks people off. They tell me that it hangs up on them, and then they have to call back again, and I'm seeing a lot of that coming and going, things happening. But anyway, right now we're going to give away a book, so dial in again really quick. The number, if you lost it, is 646-727-2510. I was just thinking, Joanna, though, just yesterday, I had such a tough day yesterday, and I posted out to my social networks at one point, you know, I feel like throwing up a white flag and just saying, okay, I just give up here, you know, I just surrender, but I remember that God isn't giving up. But it was interesting when I sat down and actually journaled it out with them, I just said, please, God, just do you have a rhema word for me right now? And my heart just went to Hebrews 4:10, and it's to enter his rest, to cease from all the weariness and pain and the human labor, and to exert yourself to enter the rest of God, which is not, that doesn't come naturally for us, does it? Okay,
yeah.
We are going to give
wild?
A book away.
We have to work at it.
I know, it's like, hey, that's an oxymoron. How does that work? Okay, we are going to give away a book right now, and I am going to, okay, we've got hands up here, and I'm going to go with, here we go, you're live, you guys. There you go, 978. I can hear a party back here. There you go, 978. Are you with me? Ending in 8460?
Yes.
Hi, this is Marty.
Hi.
Who's this?
Raymond.
Who's this? Hi, Raymond. Okay, where are you calling from?
Massachusetts. I just wanted to call and say it's so good what you're doing here. I'm so happy.
Oh, good. Well, you know what? You just won a book.
Oh, really?
You did. That's great. Well, Raymond, if you wanna send me an email with your address, we will send you a copy of Joanna Weaver's book, Lazarus Awakening, Finding Your Place in the Heart of God. So send me an email over to info@marnie.com. And if you can't figure that out, go over at the Bible Study Expo. You'll be able to find a support page there, and you can set it in on the support ticket, okay?
Hey, I'd love to fuck you up the asshole. I would love to stick my penis in your asshole.
Ugh. Oh, my goodness. Well, hello.
Well.
Oh, I have a feeling I probably won't be hearing from Raymond to get that book.
I don't think so.
Lord
help Raymond.
We love you, Raymond. God loves you, Raymond, and your girlfriend there. We love you, and God loves you, and thanks for calling in. And I hope that you know that you are immensely loved by the God who created you. And all of those thoughts that were coming out of your mouth right there, he made love for something so much bigger than you can imagine.
Yeah.
And that's just a teeny little picture. That ecstasy that you feel there with love like that, that's just a teeny little tip of the iceberg of the kind of love that God has for you, that he has for all of us. I am so grateful for this God who created love and sex and all these wonderful things for us to enjoy in his presence. And so God bless you, Raymond. We love you very much. And I'm going to give this book away to somebody else because I have a feeling Raymond's not going to probably call for it. So we're going to go to area code 541. Ending in 3383. Hi, are you there? Oh, hello. Are you there? Are you code 541? Can you hear me? Okay, well, very good. Then we are going to give it away to someone in the mailbox, and I'm going to just scroll my finger right down here. Somebody who put in that you would like it. You're not on the phone with us right now, but you are in our mail bin, and Zanice Duncan, you have won the book, Lazarus Awakening, Finding Your Place in the Heart of God. Congratulations, Zanice Duncan, and we do have your email because you're in the mailbox, so we will go ahead and send you a copy out over there. Well, Joanna, thank you so much for joining us here on the call today.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Okay, and I just pray that God bless you, and we'll just take this book far and wide to gals you want to go over to Bible Study Expo, and just link on Joanna's photo if you want to go to her website, and that's joannaweaverbooks.com, or link on the book cover if you want to go ahead and order a copy from Amazon today. Thanks, Joanna. You take care.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, we're going to come right back and finish off our Bible Study Expo today with Mindy Ferguson and the book, The Women in Jesus' Life. And we've just heard about a couple of them. Mindy has a new take, a different take that God has given her, and you will want to hear about that. So stick with us. We will be right back. Is it ever your turn to come up with fresh ideas for parties, events, or retreats? Check out the fully developed theme sets at ideasforwomensministry.com. That's ideasforwomensministry.com. Ideas, publicity templates, and more. Ideasforwomensministry.com. Welcome back. This is Marnie Swedberg, and you are joining an edition of Marnie's Friends. We are doing a Bible Study Expo today, interviewing authors who have written Bible study books for women and women's ministries, for women to do alone, but also for gals to go through as groups. And our next guest is Mindy Ferguson. She's been with us before, and she's back again to talk about the women in Jesus' life. Welcome, Mindy.
Hi, Marnie. How are you doing?
Good. I'm excited to have you here. And, of course, you've been a friend of mine online for a long time over at womenspeakers.com. And so excited always to have a chance to connect with you in any way. But, Mindy, I know that you say about yourself that you stumbled your way into the arms of Christ at the age of 26. Will you just tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I didn't grow up in a Christian home and really was just lost and trying to find my way. I always wanted to know more about God from the time that I was about 10 or 11 years old. I can just remember really wanting to know more about him, but not knowing how to do that. And when I was 26, my husband and I went to a conference and they had a church service on the agenda, and we went, and the gentleman that was preaching at the end of the session, he did an altar call, and he said, "Are you the wife that God has created you to be?" And of course, I knew that I wasn't. And he said, "Are you the parent that God's created you to be?" And not at all. And then he said, "Are you searching for meaning and purpose in your life?" And I had just prayed that God would show me the purpose that I had been created for just weeks before this. And so my heart pounded, and I knew that he was talking to me. And he said, "If I'm talking to you right now, raise your hand." And so I closed my eyes, and I raised my hand, and he said, "Well, then get down here, and let's take care of it." So I opened my eyes, and it was just such a sweet moment because my husband had his hand raised as well. And we dedicated our lives to Christ that morning together.
That's it's so amazing when God does that, when God takes a married couple and does something in their lives at the same time as each other. And it doesn't always happen that way. It so frequently doesn't happen that way. But we had one in our lives, too many, where we were never going to have kids. My husband and I, we were never going to have kids. And before we got married, our pastor, we were Christians, but before we got married, our pastor was really concerned about this. He said, "You know what, you guys, a lot of times this really can cause a problem because later one of you will want to and the other one won't." But it was the same exact Sunday morning that we left church, and we both looked at each other and said, "It's time to have kids." And when something like that happens with you and your spouse in a spiritual moment, you guys coming to Christ or us realizing, wow, we had a calling in our lives we didn't know we would have, you know, there is something that really is so sweet and beautiful about that, isn't there?
There is. And growing together with your husband is just a beautiful, wonderful thing. Not all women experience that.
Right.
I realize that, and my heart really goes out to those women who go to church every Sunday and sit by themselves and work to be faithful and raise their children in the knowledge of the Lord and feel like they are very alone in doing that. And so I always think of Joshua 1:9, where it says, "Be strong and courageous."
And courageous.
Not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever it is that you go.
Well, the book I'm holding in my hand, The Women in Jesus' Life, this is set up to be a 6-week study. Of course, you could extend it to 12 or do it however, but it's set up to be a 6-week study. And when I first got it, Mindy, I was thinking that it would be, since it was a 6-week study, I thought it would be about 6 women, but it's really about a lot more than that.
There's 18 women that we cover.
18 women, yeah. And it's divided up really cool. And it's got a little bit of your text in it to kind of pull things together, pull thought processes forward, kind of trigger new thought processes. But then there's also room for journaling in this book. It's a really terrific book for you to do with a group. But even if you just do it on your own, you're going to get so much out of this. What are some of the comments that you're hearing back from gals who have gone through this book, Mindy?
Well, as I think back to when I first wrote this Bible study, I was teaching a women's class in the evenings, and a lot of these women are those very ones who would come to church by themselves, and a lot of them were working women, a lot of them were brand new Christians, and we were going through your typical in-depth Bible studies, and they were struggling to have the motivation to do homework. And they were struggling to get it done because of their schedules. And I kept, semester after semester, seeing them come feeling defeated because they had not gotten their work done. And I just felt compelled to write a study that was shorter and manageable for them. And as I thought about each of these women, what they needed was to see the heart of God. They needed to see the compassion that Christ had for them. And so when I looked at Scripture and I began to pray, the women that Jesus encountered over and over and over again, you see his compassion and his mercy, and you see how he honored women and loved them dearly. And so those women just commented that for the first time they could get their homework done. And because they were seeing more of the heart of Christ, they were motivated to move to the next lesson. And I think it left them where they were because they hadn't developed enough of a relationship with Christ, some of them, to be drawn to his word and to be motivated to study and get their homework done. But it was a great starting place. And so even today, as women do this study, what they tell me is that they see the heart of Christ, and they are so encouraged by it.
That's so great. Well, I love as you go through, you really touch on probably most every emotion that a woman experiences in her life, you know, is touched on at some point in this. It's a small book, you guys. It's a little taller than normal, but it's 100 pages, and so it's not a honking big manual. It's something that you can really stick in your, you know, stick in your tote and take with you and pull out at lunch and not feel like you've got a textbook. It's just such a nice feel to the book. But there's so many things in here. I love on page 78, and you're talking about the widow in this situation. But you have a great question here that I think women struggle with, that we struggle with a lot as women. The question is, how does this woman's gift challenge you? And how it hit me, Mindy, it was funny because it hit me two ways. How does it challenge me? Like, I wish I was more like her, you know, kind of comparatively, how is it challenging to me? But then also, how does it challenge me in that I want to be more like Jesus? She's exemplifying a side of Jesus that I want to have more in my life. And when we're working with women, there's this thing that we have that we do with each other, this comparison thing. You know, I wish I was as energetic as her. I wish I could do this, that, the talent that she has or whatever. And what God wants us to do, really, and what you bring out in this book so beautifully, is that he wants us to learn from each other. He wants us to actually be looking at the other women, the godly women in our lives, saying, that is a beautiful character. Not that I have to turn into her, but how can I be more like Christ in that way in my life? And I don't know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, and I believe you're talking about the generous widow and where she had just given 2 copper mites. That's all that she had.
Right.
You know, that just goes so well with what you're saying, because we so often think our gift is not as valuable as somebody else's. We just don't have anything to offer Christ. But she gave all that she had, and he honored her for that. And that is exactly, he wants us to come in our poverty and in our brokenness and to give what we have. And when we do that, he makes something beautiful out of it, and it is not overlooked. And our sacrifices are meaningful, and they're noticed. We do the comparison thing, and we always feel, you know, we tend to compare our worst to somebody else's best, and we always seem to look at ourselves as having not enough. But what I love about this story is it really does magnify the truth that if we bring what we have, it is enough. And really, anything plus Christ is enough.
Right. And because we don't have anything that Christ didn't give us, it all belongs to him anyway. So even if it's huge, it's just,
absolutely,
it's small. It's his anyway. So it's all relative. Well, we're talking about the book, The Women in Jesus' Life. We're going to give away a copy of this, and I'm going to try to give it away to caller from area code 810. Caller from area code 810, and your phone number ends in 9205. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, you just won a book.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you very much.
Who are we talking to?
Jeannie Vogel.
Oh, hi, Jeannie. Well, I'm so glad you're here. And if you want to send me an email over at info@marnie.com and just put that you won the book, and with your address there, we will send that out to you.
Okay. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this podcast.
Oh, good. Well, thanks for being here, and congratulations.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Marnie Sudberg. We're just ending up this, we've had a wonderful hour. It's flown by. And this last segment, we've been talking with Mindy Ferguson about her book, The Women in Jesus' Life. I hope that you will go over to Bible Study Expo. If you click on her photo, it will take you to her own website. And if you click on the photo of the book, The Women in Jesus' Life, it will take you to Amazon, and you can order one of those right away or order a couple of them for a group that you want to take through. This is a great book to take to work, have a lunchtime Bible study with your girlfriends. Like Mindy was telling us, it's just a wonderful book that doesn't have a ton of homework. You could even do it together right there during lunch hours. You don't have to even do it at home. Just get together, get your Bibles out, and do a little segment at a lunch hour once a week, and you would just have so much benefit from this. Mindy, thanks for your life. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Marnie, and thanks for all you do for women and women's ministry.
Oh, thanks so much. Okay, God bless. Well, thanks, everybody, and we will be back next week with another segment of Marnie's Friends. Hope that you will be able to join us then, and I hope that you have a wonderful day. Okay, bye-bye.